Blog Talk Radio.
On the leopard carpet with Lady Flava today. My special guest is Rick Palmer, and you heard a smooth piece by him called I Want It All. He is not only the saxophone player on that piece, he is also the vocalist. And as I got to, you know, read over his bio and listen to some of his sounds, I am so excited to have him step on the leopard carpet with me today, because this is an artist who is actually new to me. Many times I have somebody come on the leopard carpet, I'm a little bit familiar with them, and I've had communications and been supporting them for a while. But Rick is new, and so as I get to learn more about him, you will too. So, Rick, welcome to the leopard carpet today.
Hello, how are you, Lady Flav?
I'm very good, my friend. I'm really excited about having you on the show. As I was just saying, you're somebody who's kind of new to me, but you are an amazing, amazing talent, you know, from your saxophone playing and also your singing skills. And I know that last night you performed at Covey's, and my dear friend, Mr. Chico, was so excited and thrilled to have seen you perform live. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about you being here, my new musical friend. So, since I am new to you and the listeners, probably most of the listeners to my show are new, if I was to just say, Rick, tell us who you are and what you do, what would you say?
Well, there's two sides of me. There's the laid-back, just kind of quiet, reserved version of me that's the one you see at home. I like to just enjoy my quiet time. I love my family. I love just kind of staying around close, you know. But when I get on stage, it's a whole different side of me. It's kind of like opening up a box and getting a whole different version of what you thought was going to be inside that box. I think on the stage I'm allowed to be as passionate and as energetic and as creative as my mind can let me do, you know. I think that's the real reason I love to perform music is just because it helps me be able to be a whole other side of myself that I am not always, you know.
Okay. So then, with that said, how did music come into your life? How did singing and playing the saxophone come into your life?
Well, when I was a kid, I was about 8 years old, and I heard a saxophone song by an artist named Richard Elliott, who's one of the biggest smooth jazz, you know, saxophonists in the country and the world today. And that song, it didn't just get me excited, like, wow, listen to the song. My dad was excited about it too, and he was the one like, man, check this cool song out.
Okay.
Instantly, I felt like, oh, I would love to be able to do that one day. Now, as a kid, you want to be a fireman, you want to be a cowboy, you want to be everything. So,
Right.
sometimes your parents don't always take you seriously. And, you know, growing up in the South Side of Chicago, you know, we didn't always have the extra money to be throwing around for every, you know, kid's wishes and wants. And there was three of us. There's three boys in the house. And so I had to wait until I started public school and high school. And I had to take band class, and they said, you know, you're allowed to take band class. And I'm like, I was so excited. And they let me play the saxophone. And that first year was, they didn't have to ever, it was the only teacher that ever, never had to tell me to do my homework. I was so excited about going home and practicing and just learning this new thing that I've always wanted to do.
Right.
Earlier in those years as well, I saw Dave Koz live. It was on cable, but it was a Dave Koz show. And when I seen somebody finally doing that live with the saxophone, and, you know, Dave puts on such an amazing show, so animated and so creative, and I just like, as a kid, I felt like I could do that one day, you know. And so I picked up the sax, and it was just hand in glove, perfect fit from there on. And about 21 years later is when I started singing, believe it or not. I grew up in Chicago, and when I got to about, you know, 28 years old or so, I was like, you know what, I got to go to California. It's where the music's at. Even though as big of a music scene as Chicago is, L.A. is just so much more vast, and there's so much more of you're surrounded in music, which is the reason why I love California. So I came out here, and I thought I was just going to be a saxophone player and make it big and all this kind of stuff. But you always got to have those hard times where you realize, oh, I have to pay my bills.
Right,
So
right.
I couldn't afford to pay another singer to lead a band. So I just started singing myself, and And that was it. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the idea of being a lead singer, just as much as I fell in love with the idea of being a lead saxophonist, you know. So that's kind of where it came from.
Wow. What an interesting story. I mean, usually when somebody is a singer, you know, they talk about like coming up as a child in church or something, you know,
yeah.
And that's where they began singing. How interesting is it that you started actually as a saxophone player as a child to then many, many, many years later then,
yeah.
Well, then you know, becoming a singer. So obviously you're a natural at it then.
You know what? At first, there was a lot of growing period. I mean, it's your voice is just as hard of an instrument as anything else,
okay.
And you really have to learn to cultivate it, and you really have to learn to stretch it like a muscle,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I literally took the first 2 years or so of just mimicking every singer that I could think of that I enjoyed listening to.
Okay.
From Luther Vandross to Justin Timberlake to Dave Koz, all the different people that he had on his record that would come in and sing, like B.B. Winans. Oh, my gosh. You know, just so many fantastic singers that, you know, and none of those people do I have a similar voice to, but
right.
Being able to just hear the inflections of Luther Vandross's voice, of the softness, but yet of the powerfulness, and being able to do both. Those things created desire in me to want to hit those ranges and hit those high notes and hit those high notes with power and be able to sing like your instrument can do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
An instrument can only do what you tell it to do. And it's
mm-hmm.
the same thing with your voice. It's only going to do what you make it do, you know? And
right.
That's how that started.
Right. So when it comes to playing the saxophone, was that something that just kind of came natural for you, or was it something that you really had to be trained at?
Well, there's a natural connection where you almost don't want to ever put it down. You want to carry it with you all the time, but because
okay.
the saxophone is so delicate, and I was only 14 when I started. It was,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're so delicate, and they'll break, and then you got to pay a lot of money to. So even at that point, I made sure that it was always in its case, and it was always
mm-hmm.
you know, protected, and all this kind of stuff. And then when it came time to practice, I just sat on my bed in my room, and I would just practice. And then as soon as I was done, I would put it away. I wouldn't leave it out or anything. And
okay.
Especially now with two other brothers and dogs running around the house.
So, okay, sure.
But yeah, there was definitely a natural connection. And I think yeah. musically, you know, some people are born with certain talents and gifts, and they're not sure what they are until something's
mm-hmm.
given to them and exposed to them, and they can just
right.
take it and try it and see what they like,
right.
you know?
Well, you know, from just hearing, you know, the tracks that I received from Evie Foster, I knew that you have a sound that I would love to experience, you know, in person. But I will say that, you know, when I heard the excitement in Chico Stevens' voice last night, I know that I want to experience you in person. So one of these days I'm going to get to California, because I just can only imagine that you put on a great, great show. And I understand, like, the NAMM is taking place or has been taking place during this past week down there.
Yeah, actually, it ends today. It started
okay.
Thursday. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to it this year
okay.
because I don't know if you knew or are aware of, but I've been posting videos on my Facebook page about a surgery that I was going to have. And
right.
I had a surgery last Thursday, or
okay.
I'm sorry, last Saturday. And
okay.
I believe it or not, I had a tummy tuck. You know, so it's not like I was in pain or I was sick or something. It was just something that I wanted to do for my own mind's image of myself, and something that I really needed to, I wanted to take care of, something that I felt about myself that I didn't really like growing up, you know.
Okay.
And after we, you know, I had the surgery on Saturday, and I did not know that I was going to be able to do a show yesterday. And coming to the show the day or two before, I thought, okay, I'm going to set up a stool and I'll sit down and we'll make it more of an acoustic kind of chill vibe show.
Okay.
But that didn't happen. So we'll get
really?
More
to
get
okay.
that a little bit more later.
Okay.
But yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Well, no, and I appreciate you, you know, bringing up the surgery. And I thought that maybe it would be something you would be okay in talking about because I did see the videos. And I thought about it, you know, like, okay, is he really doing a show? Because didn't he just have surgery and all of this? So I appreciate you bringing that up. And I did. You know, just kind of wondered. I mean, I even had mentioned, well, are you sure he's going to fill up to, you know, coming on the leopard carpet with me? And I was assured that it was all fine and stuff. But so if you don't mind me asking a little bit more about, you know, the surgery and all, when it comes to the fact that you decided to do the tummy tuck, it was that strictly for, like, personal reasons, or in a sense, did you even think about that on a professional level as an artist?
Well, percentage-wise, yeah, I would say about 75 to 80% personal. And then you have to be realistic that, yeah, there is a side of it that helps in the business world and everything. And appearance is a lot, especially these days, you know, and... But as you're getting into something like that, a surgery, and really risking, you know, I mean, essentially you are risking your life because you are going under, and they are, you know, operating on you, and that's a very dangerous thing. But luckily, these days the surgeons and doctors are so much better than they ever used to be, and so I wasn't worried in any sort of way about the surgery itself.
Okay.
But at the same time, I felt like. And I've been, over the course of the last, you know, 6 months to a year or so, been working on, you know, I'm a little bit overweight, so I'm trying to knock it down. I'm trying to get down to a slimmer, more stunt version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it makes you more comfortable, it makes you more healthy, it makes you feel better about yourself in every way. It's kind of one of those weird things, though, when you have such a great, you know, image of yourself and you're feeling great, but then you pass by a mirror and all of a sudden your whole day changes because you all of a sudden it's like you're disappointed in yourself and it's such a sad thing to think about, but I know a lot of people have gone through that, and I had this pouch of, you know, on my stomach that I just, every time I'd seen myself in the mirror, I saw that. I didn't even see me. I could barely even see the clothes I was wearing because it would kind of push out, and I had this, like, tire, you know, around my face. So, yeah, so it was a very personal thing to me, and I'm so glad I did it because now, even though I'm still bandaged up and I have, you know, I'm still got stitches that got to come out soon and all that stuff.
Okay.
I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, wow, it's such a difference. It's kind of like, you know, all I want for Christmas was my two front teeth.
Like,
all I ever wanted was to get rid of this thing on me that made me feel like I wasn't normal. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I'm so happy. It's the first time in my life my stomach has been flat. And I'm so, like, excited about it. Now, it's only the beginning, because as soon as I'm back up to where I can get into the gym, I'm going to be clanging and banging as the rock.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing that you're so willing to share your journey, you know, publicly.
Yeah.
And because I think you're right. I think that a lot of times many of us can have, in a sense, in our mind, this great image. But like you said, you pass by a window or a full-length mirror or something, and you might see something different. And it kind of throws you off of, you know, how you might feel good about who you are or where you are in your world. And I mean, yeah, image does come into play a lot in many, many situations and how, you know, people perceive us. Or like you said, healthy, being just healthy and feeling good in that sense. So I really commend you, you know, for what you've done for yourself and just, you know, being willing to share your journey, because I think that in you sharing your story, it kind of makes it okay, you know, for other people that might have thought how you know, were thinking to, you know, what can I do for myself, you know, to get in a position to feel, you know, better about myself and to be healthier. So I think it's a great thing in what you're doing in regards
to
that.
No, exactly. That was the reason why I'm not, there's no reason for me to be ashamed to share it with people, because it's nothing that I should be ashamed of. It's just a part of life. And especially in this day and age, bettering yourself is a sign that you respect yourself. You know what I mean? And that you actually like yourself, and you're content with who you are. And this is just one of those ways that there's something I didn't have much control over. And I wanted to get this done for myself. It's literally been with me ever since I was a child, like earlier years, because I gained a lot of weight probably around 10, 11 years old, and I've been happy ever since, you know. So and so, you know, that came into a lot of hard times in like school. You get picked on, you get, you know, people laugh at you, and it's never a nice thing. So that's why when you pass a mirror and you see that, you feel all that. You feel all those things.
I understand.
So, you know, so it's like, you know what? Hey, this is my body. This is what I need to do for me to feel like better about myself. So nobody should ever have anything to say about that. You know, And I even put on my first video, I said, if you have something negative to say, then we don't really want to hear it. Because this is for somebody that is actually interested in what I'm doing and cares about me as a person, or maybe they're thinking about doing something for themselves and maybe never wanted to because they thought what people would say. Who cares what people would say? You know, you got it. It's your life. You have to do it, you know?
Well, no, I think that you're right. There's no reason to share anything negative, especially when somebody shares a journey like this. And you know, again, in somebody hearing your story here on, you know, the leopard carpet, or seeing one of your videos or seeing a post online, you know, it may really help trigger them in wanting to get to a place and a point in their heart, mind, and soul that they want to step up and do something for themselves. And I think it's only a blessing, you know, to be able to come across somebody like you who's willing to share, you know, their journey. But the thing is that when it comes to you as a musician, whether it's the saxophone or singing, you know, it's something that you have to practice. It's not something that, okay, you may be naturally talented with, but you have to be committed, you have to be determined, and you have to put in work in what you do as an artist to then at the same time in what you're committing to do when it comes to your health and your weight and your image. You have to be committed to that. And so you're kind of showing us in two ways of life, you know, the importance, you know, of, you know, setting a goal and working on it and achieving. And at the same time, maybe you have, you know, some challenges that you face, but you work through it because there's something that you want to achieve, you know, on the other side. So I really, really appreciate you, you know, in sharing that story. But before we go any further, I want to play another piece by you, because I people just really, really need to hear your sound. And so I think I'm going to play Peace of Heaven. And again, this is my friend, my new friend, who has stepped on the leopard carpet with me today. And I just want to share his music, his story with you. And so this is A Piece of Heaven by Rick Palma.
Talk to you. I kiss me. And this is why you're a cut above all the rest. I just wanna sing to you. And you're wrapping up everything I do, yeah. Every time you look into my eyes, it's what you and I.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to On the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flavor, where today my special, special guest is Rick Palma, who is an amazing saxophonist and musician, vocalist, and, I'm going to say mentor right now. If you missed the first half of the show, you definitely are in for a treat if you go back and check out, you know, what he shared earlier. So we talked about the fact of, you know, kind of how you got started, Rick, in music and as a singer, which is so interesting to me. So I'm kind of really loving, you know, hearing your story and getting to know you, to then, you know, sharing your story and life decision in your journey and, you know, having a surgery done and you know, to take some of the weight off, to then, you know, getting healthier and getting in the gym and getting physically fit and everything. But I want to go back to, you know, the music. And, you know, what do you, I know that you have influences of artists in your life that kind of, you know, you became very passionate about over the years. Why do you think the style that you have embraced has really become kind of, I sense, is your signature sound when it comes to playing the saxophone and when it comes to singing?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, A, listening to a lot of different artists that I prefer to listen to.
Okay.
And then B, not listening to the haters when they say, oh, that music is whack or that artist is whack and you shouldn't listen. And, or, you know, so just saying no to everything negative and only mm-hmm. keeping positive. Because as a kid growing up with the sax and learning how to play and you're developing not only your technical skills, but I already had so much of a desire to do it. It was becoming a passion. It was becoming a part of my life.
Okay.
And so some of my influences, like, for example, Dave Koz, he's so passionate about his music and his sound and his feel, but also the way he engages an audience. And the first time I saw him perform live, I was just like, man, that's, like, so cool, you know?
Okay, uh-huh, right.
What's funny is that when you listen to Dave Koz's story, he says, the first time I saw the Beatles live on the Johnny Carson show or something like that, he's like, I knew I could do that, but I wanted to do that with, you know, the saxophone, you know? And
okay.
Also, Kenny P said the same thing. He saw somebody live and he's like, I want to do that with the saxophone,
mm-hmm.
you know? And,
mm-hmm.
So for me, I actually got to see somebody with the saxophone do it, and it just inspired me even 10 times more. But
okay.
But everybody grows up different. Everybody grows up with their own trials and tribulations and good times and bad times that make them who they are and
mm-hmm.
make the truth. That's when you say somebody creates their own sound, it's really they're speaking from their own heart.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried so much about, you know, what pop culture says or maybe what the media says or maybe what your friends say or, you know, you're doing exactly what you want to do. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
That's what creates a sense of your own sound, your own style, so that when people hear a couple of notes, like, oh, that's that new Rick Parma song, they already know. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And it's funny because when I was growing up as a kid, you know, I would hear a melody, like I'd come up with a melody in my head, like, oh, that'd be kind of a cool song. But the problem was when I heard the melody playing back in my mind, I was hearing like Dave Koz's sound. I was hearing David Sanborn's sound because I didn't have my own sound yet.
Okay.
It took at least 7 to 10 years before that changed to where, wow, I believe in myself so much that I hear myself now. You know, and you learn your limitations and you learn your boundaries and you learn just like a vocalist, you know, a vocalist who is a tenor is not going to go and try to just sing a soprano part and just be like, yeah, I could do it. No problem.
Right.
It's not in your structure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you just do what you're capable of, what God gave you as a gift and the body that he gave you with, you know, because when you're singing with your chest, you're singing with your sinus cavities. Everybody's head is literally scientifically shaped different. So everybody has somewhat of a different voice because there's different sound that their own body creates, which is such
right.
a neat thing. And then their vocal cords and then the way they're taught or the way they grow up. Some people grow up in the church singing or playing like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Some people grow up, you know, like in a blues city where they're just going to a sitting room with blues guys and then they come up with that sound. And then some people just are strictly, they just love that jazz scene and they just, you know, and it's just, everybody has their own feel. But when you start to come with your own sound, is that's, I think, when you can really start to create your own music. And lyrically, I'm not the kind of person that writes sexual songs, but I write passionate songs, romantic songs. Because
right.
I feel like sometimes today some of the imagination is taken out of the music. It's now just like really blatantly in your face, and it's like, no, where's the passion? Where's the imagination? Where's the mystery to romance, you know?
Right.
So I write about my experiences, either past or present, and even things that I would love to see in the future, the way I like to feel. I'm a very pro-marriage guy. I love the idea of being married to my wife and just being able to have an endless love affair with her, you know?
Right.
Some people don't see that, and that's fine. Some people want it's okay. They don't believe in marriage, but they like, you know, they still have their special someone, and that's fine. Everybody has their own taste.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a romantic at heart is what it is. It comes down to I'm a romantic at heart. So it comes out in my saxophone, and it comes out in my voice and in my lyrics. And I know I've really quickly learned boundaries. I've learned my boundaries with what I have. the other night I was doing a little background gig where I sit at a restaurant and I just play two tracks, you know. I tried to hit a note that I couldn't hit, and it was so funny because it was late at the end of the night and there was only a few people left, but there was one couple all the way in the back. As soon as I hit the wrong note, they heard it and I heard it, and we all three of us started laughing in the middle of the song, and I'm like,
okay.
I literally had to be like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have tried that note. It wasn't mine, and
right.
They started laughing. And later on, when I went up and talked to them, they're like, dude, just the fact that you even try, that you can hit high-range notes like that, it's really nice, and you sound very good. And it's like, we thought it was more funny that you acknowledged it, you know? So, yeah, it's not always perfect, but it's you, you know? I don't care if you're the most amazing athlete in the world. I mean, look, we got the Super Bowl coming up, and there's hundreds of amazing, phenomenal athletes that are not there because they weren't able to get there, you know, and it's just
right.
That's how it is.
Right.
As good as you are, there's always going to be downfalls. There's always going to be somebody better, so why compare yourself to anybody? Just play your own stuff, do your own thing, and create your own path, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that you've definitely, you know, honed your own style, and I personally and professionally love it, and I appreciate, you know, how you shared the fact of that you're creating this sound and what you're wanting through not only your saxophone and your voice, because I think you definitely balance it out really, really well. And when I listened to your music, I was thinking the exact same thing, that you bring it across even in the saxophone without the words, because it's those musical notes that tell that story and draw the person in. It's the kind of music that you can sit back and chill to on your own. It's the kind of music that will, you know, help relax you after a stressful day. And it definitely is the music that can help set a tone when you're with that special someone, you know, or even when you sit back on your own and you fantasize about being in love and what that feels like. And I think that you're right. I think that we need to have that type of music.
Yeah.
That kind of takes us to that place again, because a lot of the music that is created and a lot of what we experience out there is so explicit that it takes away from the mystery. It takes away from the romance and the desire of, you know, of wanting a relationship. I think we live in a time where anything goes, and that's really sad. And so to hear music like yours that embraces, you know, my feeling of what life should be like, And to have music that helps me embrace, in a sense, my own values and morals, I think is a beautiful thing. And it's okay. And like you talk about, you know, everybody sees life differently. Everybody experiences and has their own taste when it comes to music. And this just happens to be your style. And you own it. And you own it very, very well. Because, I mean, it's just, yeah, I can only imagine what it, again, what it's like to experience you in person. Because it just hearing it, you know, in an audio can make me feel it. So just, you know, to be able to see you live, I think that would be just really, really special. And yeah. I know it's an exciting time, you know, to be in California. And, you know, as I had mentioned earlier with NAMM taking place, because a bunch of, you know, musicians from up here in Seattle where I am, you know, are down there and they're posting pictures and videos and everything. That's not something that we have, you know, that type of excitement, you know, up here in Seattle. And so it's exciting to see, you know, the area that you're from. And I can definitely understand why you would be drawn to being in California and being around where music is really, really embraced. And there's so many different opportunities, you know, to be able to take advantage of. So with that being said, Rick, what does your present and your future look like when it comes to you as a musician and artist?
Well, I plan on creating a lot of music.
Okay.
I plan on creating a lot of stuff that's not in the typical smooth jazz or even R&B kind of feel. I love club music. I love dance music. I love hip-hop. I love, you know, jazz. I love everything. So if at the time of me and the guys are sitting down in the studio creating, you know, it's going to come out how we feel, but we're going to polish it to where it sounds killer, you know?
Okay.
Because, me and a few of the other writers that I like to work with, my personal friends, we all have the same passion for music. And so, we all don't want to put out something that's not quality. You know, we want to put something that speaks to you. I've always chosen the way of storytelling in my music. You know, I don't just put like a beat and just kind of just play to it. There's a melody, there's a direction there. You know, the bridge is not just a way to get back into the chorus to extend it to 3 or 4 minutes for radio. It's the bridge is an actual bridge. You know, it's a climax and you're building to that peak of the song. And so there's so many things that make it about the music. And when too many people step out in front, like they want to be the show, and it's like, wait, it's about the music. You know, I'm an artist and I love being an entertainer, but if I'm going to ruin my show by just having make it all about me and then the show is boring, well then I haven't done my job. You know, I'm an entertainer, but I know that the music comes first. You know, so if you come to one of my shows, I guarantee if you come to one show and then you come to another show, you may hear the same set list, but you're not going to hear it the same way.
Right, okay.
I'm constantly creating on the stage with the musicians. And yesterday's show explained that in a heartbeat. If you were there, you experienced it. You saw five musicians that were feeding off of each other, like so beautifully. It's funny. What's funny is that the bass player, the keyboardist, and the guitar player were all subs because my normal guys weren't able to make it. But that's what I love about LA is the quality of musicians. But we had, after the show, my drummer, who's my normal drummer, who's probably one of my best friends, he says, man, did you feel that vibe? And for him to say that, he pulled me aside and he's like, that was insane. He's like, it was so good, and everybody felt it in the room. My sister's boyfriend, he saw us play many times, and he came up to me. He's like, man, something was different tonight. It was just even more intense than I've ever felt. I'm like, thank you, you know, because that's all you can say is thank you. Cause I was lost in the music, you know, and as much as I was coming off of surgery, and I shouldn't have been moving around and being as explosive as I was.
Okay.
I was running off of pure adrenaline. And it was interesting because, you know, we got there to set up and there were already people sitting down and getting ready for the show and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden my my own emotions started firing up, like, uh-oh, we're going to have a good night. And then as the band got close, I mean, we had a packed house, not a seat in the room, not a space in the room. And,
I just,
in my heart of hearts, I was like, there's no way I can just sit on a stool and do a laid-back show. It can't happen.
Okay.
And even my sister, she comes up to me, she goes, you better calm down, you're about to hurt yourself. Like, I'm like, I can't. I gotta do it, you know? So, the show must go on. I even announced to the crowd right from the get-go. I said, look, I had a surgery, and I thought I was going to be sitting down the whole show, but the show must go on. I can't do that to you guys. And I put on that show.
Wow. Well, you know, that is amazing. And you kind of answered a question because I wondered, like, did you have a set band that you perform with? And what a beautiful thing to, yes, you have, you know, regular musicians you perform with, but to have people that subbed and to still be able to create that magic. And so, I mean, that just definitely tells the true musicianship. But I would imagine even, you know, for the most amazing artists, there just has to be like a chemistry and feel that took place for it to just, you know, to be able to create, you know, an atmosphere like what you're sharing happened last night.
That's the beauty of musicians that don't just play music because it's their day job. They play music because it's their passion. When
right.
you have five people on the stage that all share the same passion, oh, my gosh, that's a championship-winning team, you know?
Mm.
That's like the Bears or the Bulls or the, you know, and that's the championship-winning team. Because you have five people that are going, we are going to kick, scratch, fight, claw, do whatever it takes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When, you know, and unfortunately, there are artists that come in, you know, that you use because – you can't just have a set band because people work, you know.
Sure.
Gotta work
okay.
And just,
sure.
They get picked
sure.
up. I mean, some of the musicians that I use are on tour with, you know, Grammy winners, and so I can't always have them, you know.
Okay.
Actually, the bass player that I was supposed to use, he was actually auditioning yesterday night for Sierra at the Grammys.
Oh,
and not
okay.
They had to do rehearsal. He wasn't auditioning. So he's like, I can't make it. I need to send this other guy. I said, okay, no problem. I know him.
Uh-huh.
And I just knew that the quality in musicianship was always going to be there, and I wasn't worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Amazing, amazing. So do you have, like, a CD that you're working on right now that's going to be coming out this year?
Yes, this year. Don't have an exact date, but, yes, definitely this year we'll – I have a new CD coming out with that. We'll have the songs that you've already heard and more.
Okay. Okay. Does it have a title by chance?
The title is going to be called The Peace of Heaven or
Peace.
A Peace of Heaven.
Okay. All righty.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We do have a caller, so let me go ahead and bring them in if you don't mind.
Oh, cool.
Welcome to the Leopard Carpet, Chico.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm very good.
Hey, Chico. How you doing,
Rick? How you doing, Rick? I'm doing good. Good, good.
Are you tired from yesterday?
oh, dude. I mean, like I was telling my partners, I said if an artist, if I stand up and I have just a little tear in my eye, that's a superstar.
Wow.
And the reason why that I'm calling, Spectre Jazz would like to sign you, as of today, to be a part of our label.
Wow. Well, all right. Let's do it.
Okay. You definitely impressed me last night, no matter how many times I say, Rick, go, you know, first time we met, you know, through Dr. Linda, I get so many artists that come to me every day, and Linda pushed, and she pushed. You know, you and I, we talked on the phone, and I said, and then when I first presented you, you did admit that it wasn't your best material, but I still submitted you anyway. And then you came back with some fantastic music, and I still waited, and I said, oh, let me just see, okay. But after last night's performance, there's no way I can wait on this. So I would like to offer you a contract. We'll talk about it later on with your manager, but I would like to offer you a contract with Spectra Jazz.
I would be honored. It would be my honor.
Wow. That's a first on my show.
Well, I mean, the motivation is there. I mean, for Rick to really make the transformation and especially express it himself through social media, you know, you may got some people that will sit there like, why is he doing that? Well, if you have a following, especially in music, he's doing it for himself. And that's one of the things that I love about Rick is that he's showing the world who he truly is. He's not doing it for his fans. He's doing it for himself. And I think that with this transformation, you know, definitely I know where you're coming from. You're making a transformation for yourself. And that's what a true artist is all about. It's making that transformation, but also, too, it's being humble. And you got some artists out there right now that is like, oh, okay, I'm signed to a label. The next thing you know, they're going to go party. But just meeting you last night for the first time, very, very humble person. I'm telling you, everybody that's listening right now, this guy will actually have you on your feet. And I'm sorry, I don't dance, but I got on the dance floor last night. I got on the dance floor, and I'm like, I'm going to embarrass myself. But, Dad, I couldn't hold it anymore, you know? So I was like, okay.
But it was, that's a good move, too.
Yeah, I mean, the band, Susan, the musicians that was backing him up, some of them just, they performed for the first time. I swear up and down that these guys have been together forever.
Mm.
And it was just, I mean, Rick, you can fill that in, because it was shocking to me.
Oh, I appreciate it. And I know they do, too.
Okay.
Well,
I got to go. Okay. I got to get going, but welcome to the family, Rick. Well, I'll get in touch with your manager. You know, so it's your interview. It's your time to shine, and welcome to the family.
Woo-hoo. I appreciate it, man. All right.
Okay, you guys, thanks
right.
for letting me get on the station.
All righty. Bye,
okay,
Joe.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, look
wow,
at that.
That's a first. That's never happened to, you know, anybody coming on my show. So, well, congratulations on that. And if that's something that you decide to do, I definitely welcome you to the family since I'm part of Spectra Music Group also. So that's pretty exciting. I'm just like, I'm grinning over here like a Cheshire cat right now because I'm like, okay. I mean, I was digging the feature with you, you know, all along from, you know, start to up to this point, but that's pretty exciting to have that offer. But, well, yeah, man,
what's funny is that you had just asked the question, what do you see as your future?
Well, right?
Apparently.
Right? Right? Perfect timing for that, huh? Well, man, I'm like, okay, what do I even say after that? I'm just kind of a little bit speechless. So if you don't mind, I'm going to jump into the last track because I do want to play it. And then when I come back, we'll kind of finish up. And then I definitely want you, you know, to share with the listening audience where they can find you online and follow you, you know, online and keep up with what's going on, you know, even like with your surgery and you know, what you're doing as far as your health and image, and then with your music. So I want to play for you Hey Girl by Rick Palma.
All right. Thank you.
I caught a glimpse of your smile, and I knew right then and there you had something quite so rare. I couldn't miss this chance of a lifetime, so I said,
hey girl, how you doing?
Do you mind if I talk to you?
Hey girl, how you doing?
Can we chill for an hour or two?
since that perfect day when you took my breath away. Girl, you changed my life. Talk to you.
Hey girl, how you doing?
Can we chill for an hour or two? Yeah, yeah.
Hey girl, how you doing?
'Cause you got me mesmerized.
Hey girl, how you doing?
When I look into those beautiful eyes, yeah.
Hey girl, how you doing?
I love you. I love you from my heart.
Just listening to Hey Girl by my special guest on the Leopard Carpet today, Rick Palma. What an amazing time this has been, Rick. Amazing time for me. This may, I always say this, I know, but this may go down in history as one of my favorite features, just because it went in such a different direction as far as, you know, what you shared about yourself as a musician to your personal life journey that you're going through right now, and to then now have, you know, an offer on the table for you to join the family of Spectra Jazz. But this was pretty special, you know, just to be able to, you know, have you come on and share all this, because I think that anybody that's listening to the show live, to those that come back and check out the archives, you tell a story that I think people definitely can relate to. I think that they'll want to hear and they'll want to embrace. And you know what? Who would not want somebody singing Hey Girl to them? Because you know what? Sitting here listening to it, my own self, I was kind of swaying in my chair, kind of doing that, you know, that old lady, you know, chair dancing thing going on. But, you know, like, who wouldn't want to hear that type of music? I don't know what woman would not want to be kind of woo-wooed, you know, by the music that you create. So trust and believe, I look forward to supporting you as Lady Flava. I look forward to supporting you as Susan Kay of Spectra Music Group. And this is exciting. This is really, really exciting. So I appreciate you taking the time out, you know, after doing your big show last night and, you know, recovering, you know, from just having surgery. You know, I appreciate you stepping on the Leopard Carpet with me today. And trust and believe, we'll get you back on here. As, you know, you have new projects, you know, to share, we'll get you back on here, you know, to keep us up. But, Rick, where can people, you know, find you online and have the opportunity to follow you and stay updated?
Well, the, online, of course, everywhere. You can find me on Facebook, singer-saxophonist Rick Parma. Singer-saxophonist Rick Parma. That's my like page. You can go and like me on Facebook. You can find me at rickparma.com, of course. But I also want to give a huge shout-out to my management team of Evie Foster out of Australia and Giselle Jacobs here in the United States, working so hard for me. You can find them at fosterandstevens.com. But they've been working night and day since I've connected with them, and you see, I'm not the manager. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I'm an artist, and so seeing them hard at work and watching all the little things happen every day, shoot, even every hour, because there's always something new going on. But it's fantastic work. Fantastic work. I'd love to thank Chico as well for calling in and surprising me that way. That was amazing. So a huge shout out to him. That'll be something I'll never forget. So,
well,
and of course I got to give you a shout out. Ladies, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, definitely. So. This is a good day. You definitely made this a great day. But I appreciate you, you know, shouting out your team. You know, Evie Foster is somebody that I am working with, you know, as a colleague, and Giselle we'll get to know definitely, you know, as I, you know, become a part of your team also, you know, in supporting you through Flava Marlex Radio and through Spectrum Music Group. But I think, you know, I appreciate you bringing them up, because it takes a team, definitely, you know, to help a great musician and artist such as yourself, you know, to make those moves and to move forward. You just really need to concentrate on creating that great music for us to experience. And it sounds like you've got a great, great team behind you to help support the other things that you need, you know, help on when it comes to the business end. And so, yeah, big shout out to the ladies of your life. And I'm just going to add my list to it too, my name to that particular list. And I'm going to definitely enjoy sharing your flavor, you know, with the listeners of my radio shows, because it's definitely something that I want them to experience, that I know that they're going to be loving. So I look forward, you know, to this journey with you, my new friend, and I look forward to, you know, just seeing and experiencing and supporting who you are and everything that you're doing. So God bless you, and I'm waving my leopard pom-poms for you. I don't know if you know that I like leopard, but, you know, I hope you get it by the leopard, you know, carpet thing. I love leopard print, so I'm up here in Seattle waving my leopard pom-poms for you, and you inspired me today, too, you know, and you made me really think about my own health and what I need to do for my own self, you know, in some things, you know, as I get older and as I have so many things that I, you know, want to do here in the near future and will be doing. You know, I need to think of my own self and how I need to take better care. So I appreciate you sharing your story with us today here on the Leopard Carpet. And I want to thank everybody who tuned in to listen to the show live, to those that come back and check out the archives. This is a man you really, really need to pay attention to. So, again, thank you so much, Rick. And I will be in touch with you very soon.
Thank you so much, Lady Flip. I had a blast. An hour went by so simply and smoothly, I didn't even realize it was an hour.
I know. It was good stuff. But that's because, you know, you're an amazing man and you're an amazing artist. So, yeah, it's only magic from here on out, my friend. So, yes, we will definitely be in touch, and I will definitely be playing your music right here on Flava Marlex Radio.
I appreciate every bit of it. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.